Hello, Poke fans. Welcome to the Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast, or Stabcast for short, your twice-monthly look into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. I'm your host, Trainer Spike, and with me, as always, are my fellow trainers Slagkick and Sulker.
My rock-hard willpower is evident.
Today is February 20th, 2017, and this is Stabcast, Episode 14, Pokemon Trading Card Game Sun and Moon Overview. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of our venture into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. This week, Trainer Sulker will be leading a discussion about our initial impressions of the Sun and Moon Trading Card Game expansion. But first, let's talk about our Poke Weeks. Sulker, I'd like you to go first.
Oh my god, Pokemon Go! It's back, it's got Gen 2 Pokies, and I couldn't be happier with it. So I've obviously been playing that. I guess we'll cover that a little bit more in news as to what's going on with Pokemon Go. Otherwise, I have been dealing a lot with collecting the cards, so I have a lot to talk about on our discussion today. I also got a really cute Valentine's Day gift in the form of a Vulpix with a Ditto face, which was pretty cute. I also got a large set of booster packs. What do you even call that box? Like,
it's just a box of boosters.
Yeah, I got a box of boosters, so thank you. What else did I do Pokemon related this week? Watched the anime, obviously. I think that's it for me. Am I forgetting anything? I don't think so. What about you, Slagkick? How's your Poke Week?
It's really mostly been Pokemon Go, getting back into it, catching a couple Gen 2 Pokés. Really excited to, you know, see some old faves showing up just in random places. Although I'm sure at a certain point I'll be like, oh, another Natu, another Snubbull. But right now it's refreshing, and I really loved Gold and Silver and Crystal, so I have a soft spot for all those Pokés. Tried Pokemon Duel, aka Pokemon Co-Master. Didn't really connect with me, but I appreciate, you know, that it is what it is. Just didn't really do much for me. Other than that, just keeping up with the anime, and that's about it. What about you, Spike?
I have started my replay of Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon. So I've been enjoying that. I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go, of course. I think we all have. And, you know, just collecting cards and stuff. I got a couple of also cute little Poke tchotchkes for Valentine's Day, and that was an absolute delight.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, it's been a nice week, kind of a quiet one, but definitely with some very positive stuff going on. With all of this having been said, let's kick it off for our Poke News, or Muse. Sulker, I think you have our first story.
Sure do. Pokemon Mega Blocks are finally on their way to America.
Yes.
So let's see. The toys have been rolling out in Japan for the last year. They're finally making their debut here, according to Kotaku. It looks like we've only got a few images so far. It's expected that this weekend there would be some more after the New York Toy Fair that just took place. I haven't seen any news pieces out there with it. But what we've got here is Pikachu and a Pokeball, as well as Charizard and a Great Ball, and some like little pieces look to make it like
little like stalactite cave look,
or stalagmites. I always forget which is which.
Same.
But yeah, these look super cute. I'm probably gonna start throwing my money at them pretty soon. What do you guys think about this one?
You know, I've been a big fan of all of the Mega Bloks line of like video game product. You know, they've done Halo stuff, they've done Destiny stuff, they did World of Warcraft stuff. I'm really happy to see them doing Pokemon stuff. Typically the builds are pretty good, and you know, I just like building stuff and I like Pokemon, so it's two great tastes that taste great together.
I'm excited for these. The Pikachu looks a little bit funny, though.
Look a little funny.
There's something about Pikachu that looks a little off, but...
He's an adorable baby. Stop.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Mega Bloks, so, like, it looks like what a Mega Bloks Pikachu would look like from what I can see.
So mean. We also have word here of an upcoming new Pokemon game for mobile. This is going to be Splash Magikarp, and that's about all we really knows so far. The game is apparently going to revolve around the mystery of two strange Magikarp-shaped holes that have appeared in a quiet town. We will be talking to you more as we learn more. What do you guys think of this?
Carp.
Magikarp, Carp. I love Magikarp. I mean, it could be something like basically Cookie Clicker, but with Magikarp splashing, and I'd be down.
Excellent. All right. Slaggy, what do you got for us?
We have a Tapu Koko figure collection coming on May 19th. This is going to feature a foil promo card of Tapu Koko, a Tapu Koko figurine, 4 booster packs, and a Pokemon Training Card Game Online code card.
Excellent. I'm really excited about this. I really love the card figure collections, and this will be another one to get and display.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the fig for this one's really cute, because, I mean, Tapu Koko is pretty cute himself, herself, itself, theirself. And the card itself actually seems pretty solid for, you know, a starter Pokemon card, because that's how legendaries work.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
New Mega Powers collection in May will be coming out, and 4 new full arts, whatever that means.
A full art card?
Oh, okay, I didn't understand that at first. So it looks like the new Mega Powers collection will be released on May 19th. The star Pokemon of this collection will be Mega Lucario EX, which will come with a full art jumbo card along with a brand new Lucario Spirit Link promo card. The collection will also feature four full art promos of foil with Mega Manectric EX, Mega Lucario EX, Jolteon EX, and Zygarde EX. All of these promos will be reprints of existing cards, but will feature brand new full artwork. Only the Lucario Spirit Link will be a brand new card. There obviously will be 8 Pokemon, the collectible card game code card, as well as 8 booster packs. We do not know if the 4 regular-sized promos will feature full art texture or full art card or regular sets. So I'm really excited for this one, because obviously card game is my jam, and EX cards are really friggin' awesome.
Yeah, you know, something interesting is the full art cards typically have a very unique texture to them, and that's sort of what we're talking about here at that last part. Previously, anytime we've gotten, like, full art cards that have been a part of these kinds of promo packs, they typically do not have the typical full art card texture that the actual full art cards tend to have. So that's all. It's the kind of detail that I think only the most nitpicky of nitpicky folks really care about. So we also have some news here of some other Pokemon trading card game products that are being released in May. These are the 2 new legendary battle decks. They will feature Ho-Oh EX or Lugia EX. They'll be releasing on May 5th. Each 60-card deck will cost $19.99 and will come with a metallic coin.
A coin.
A deck box, damage counters, and player guides. We do not yet know which versions of Lugia EX and Ho-Oh EX the decks will feature, but as soon as we hear, we will update you.
Yeah, I love Lugia. It's always been one of my favorite legendaries, so I guess I'm buying another deck.
Oh no, your life is awful. But yeah, I'm excited for these, because anytime we get full decks that feature legendaries and EX cards, I'm there for it.
Excellent.
As we talked about during our Pokeweeks, the Gold and Silver Pokemon, originally from the Johto region, are now in Pokemon Go. In addition, there are some things that have been added, such as new berries. A Nana Berry will slow the movements of Pokemon that may be tricky to catch, and Pineapple Berries double the amount of candy you will get from the Pokemon. And as mentioned, some of the Pokemon movements are a little crazy. So, like, I was trying to catch, I think, a Ledyba, and it kept kind of, like, buzzing around the screen.
Oh, that happened to me, too.
So it was kind of crazy. And there will also be some items that will allow for evolutions, like Blossom.
Oh, wow.
And wardrobe stuff, which I haven't taken a look at yet, because I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I heard that the wardrobe stuff actually costs coin, so that should be an interesting new way to play the game.
Well, you know, they need to keep up that monetization somehow.
So, can we just talk about this news piece a little bit more? Because I feel like our show got to start around the time that Pokemon Go was coming out, and so I feel like many of our listeners probably identify with this particular series. I really enjoy some of the quality of life changes that we're getting with this update. So as you'd kind of touched briefly on, Slagkick, with the new berries, the UI in the actual Pokemon catching section changed. So I like how it feels a little more fluid to just kind of like get to the berries and the ball, as opposed to like having to go into a sub menu.
Oh yeah.
I also am such a big fan of the way that you can now batch up Pokemon that you want to send to Professor, which Professor is this? I have not played this game in a while.
Professor Willow.
Yeah, you can mass send Pokemon now, which made my life so much easier when I started playing again, just because I was able to be like, oh, all of these randos I caught, just off you go, make me candy. And here we are now, able to catch just 50 Pokemon without having to worry about bag space.
Excellent. Yeah, I have been up against the bag space issue, so that is fantastic news.
But that's all from me on this one.
All right, all right. Sidekick, you've been really enjoying the new Pokemon Go update?
I have. Like I mentioned during my Poke Week, it's nice to just see some new faces out in the wild, so you know, it'll definitely revitalize. And I know I've seen a lot of people, you know, who really their only vector into the Pokemon world is Pokemon Go, and they're really excited to see new Pokés too as well.
Oh yeah, in fact, on my commute, you know, I largely commute with salary workers, and so while I do see some people playing, you know, 3DSs or Vitas or what have you, most of the Pokemon casual players I've seen on my commute are people who play Go, and for the last couple months, I've seen fewer and fewer people playing, but in the last week, since this update went up, I have started to see people on my commute playing again, so that's been really heartening. It's been really nice to see.
One of my friend's work husbands, for lack of a better term, started posting online about the Pokies he's catching again, and he's like, I don't know what they are, but I'm happy to be catching them.
Hey, that's all it takes, man. That's definitely, definitely good for the health of this game and the franchise in general, so I'm happy to hear it. All right, well, with all that having been said, Sulker, I think you have one more news story for us.
Yep, we have the product images for the Scizor EX box. So we know that what the images look like. This will be released on April 21st and will include a holo card of Scizor EX in jumbo size, 4 booster packs, and a Pokemon the Online card game code card. March's 24th Kingdra EX box will have the same items, but with Kingdra EX, obviously. I'm excited for this one because I just can't stop thinking about the card game.
Yeah, I will definitely be picking these up. Like, and just for the fact, if nothing else, that it looks like they're coming with booster packs, including Sun and Moon booster packs, so I want that a lot. Slaggy, what about you?
Yeah, more booster packs are always great. I mean, I really like Scizor in terms of Pokemon, so that would probably be the one I would lean toward, but looking forward to seeing both come out.
Awesome, awesome. All right, well, with all of that having been said, it is time for our discussion, so I will give the floor to Trainer Sulker so that he may talk about the Pokemon Sun and Moon trading card game expansion.
All right, so with the Sun and Moon collection, this is probably the first really big one that I'm getting into since kind of getting back into the card game. I know that for me, I've been kind of dabbling, but now that I have a large, yes, dabbing, not dabbing, dabbling. Dabbing is something else we'll talk about on another week. So let's talk about how this card deck or card set breaks down. So we get 163 total cards in the Sun and Moon collections together combined. That's about 22 trainer cards and 114 different Pokemon cards. Some energy things to note. This set, as far as like what you'll get in boosters, will have potentially psychic energy, metal energy, or at least as far as basic energies go, and double colorless energy, and one that I have not yet found, rainbow energy. I really like rainbow energy. For those of you out there in internet radio land or here in the studio who haven't heard of this type, it is an energy card that counts as any energy, but only one at a time. So that's really friggin' cool if you're in a pinch and you need to have an energy attached to a Pokey to just get off that last big attack. However, it does come with the negative that when you attach this card from your hand to a Pokemon, it does take a counter of damage.
Oh, wow.
It's a little bit of give and take with this one, but I think so.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it would be worth it, right? Like, for what it does, if you need it, at least.
Right, exactly. And I think that in the strategy section, I'll cover a little bit more about how you can get around that. In this deck, the really important and interesting thing are the new GX cards. So in this particular set, there are 11 GX cards. We'll cover what those 11 are. But the way that they're being introduced makes me really excited to talk about that particular section. Additional, like, fun card things to note for those of you that are super collectors out there. There are 8 rare rainbow card editions of the GX cards. So it's the same hollow foil promo or hollow foil cards, but done in rainbow colors.
Ooh, fancy.
And I can show those of us in the studio what those look like with my handy dandy Pokebox.
Ooh, pretty.
Very pretty.
Yeah, so...
this makes for such good radio.
For those of you out there in the internet, we will probably try to link something like that where you could see it on our website. You know, maybe you should look there now. Do you see it?
Stabcast.org.
No? Stabcast.org. Look closer. Maybe you should just get closer to your screen. Closer than that. Too close. Okay, we'll make sure that we put it at Twitter at least. Let's see. There are also 4 rare versions of trainer cards. So those are the Ilima, Lily, Professor Kukui, and Team Skull cards. And we also have 6 rare secret cards that I really want to find. They're basically the same trainer cards that I'll list out below, but with a hollow gold foil promo or foil around the edge. So that's a Nest Ball, Rotom Dex, Switch, Ultra Ball, Psychic, and Metal gold line cards. So those Psychic and Metal are the energy cards, I should probably mention. And there are exclusive cards that you have to kind of go out of your way to find. We have the 3 starters, so that's Popplio, Litten, and Rowlet, basic water web holos from the Alola collection exclusives. So those are in the Lunala and Solgaleo box sets, which obviously come with the GX promo cards there. Cracked Ice Hollow Starter Final Evolutions, which can be found in their theme decks. So that's Forest Shadow, Roaring Heat, and Bright Tides. You can also find non-hollow Shinotic and Kangaskhan in the Forest Shadow deck, as well as non-hollow Oranguru in Roaring Heat. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like there are any other exclusives in the Rising Tide deck. So sorry about that, Primarina.
Aww.
No one loves you.
I do.
Doesn't
no one
count.
Loves you. Then there's also a Crobat non-hollow Sun and Moon pre-release kit exclusive, which I could not actually find out what that was, and now I need to figure that out.
Well, I think that was one of the promos that was given away at the pre-release events the week before the expansion launched, right? At those tournament style events?
Oh, that might be it. Yeah. That's what I thought was the Vika Volt reverse holo promo Pokemon League promo card.
Well, that's for like the Pokemon like League authorized like dealership type competitions, right?
Yeah.
So these are like 2 things that are similar, but Crobat separation, I think.
Crobat separation.
Yeah. Crobat separation. I thought you were going to say Crobat. And then, as we discussed previously on the show, Toys R Us did a pre-release promo with a hollow Cosmog card, which does have the Toys R Us stamp on it.
Get in
released...
the deck, Nabby.
You know, we ended up not getting those, and now I'm kicking myself for it.
I mean, I've already gotten a couple of Cosmog cards. The only difference is mine won't say Toys R Us, so...
Ooh, someone wants to grow up because they're not a Toys R Us kid.
I mean... moving on... let's talk about the big point here. So, GX cards. So, these are new. I didn't really know much about it when I opened my first Elite Trainer box for Sun and Moon because it came with a GX like flip tile. So, let's talk about what GX cards do. So, they're a new Pokemon card which allow you to do a once per game, not once per Pokemon GX, attack that changes up the game through instant rewards for the player using it. A good example of this is the Solgaleo GX card. His ability, Soul Burst, allows you to draw 5 energy from your deck, placing it on any Pokemon you want in whatever amount you want. So you draw those 5 energy and place them however you want across your team.
Wow.
So
these powers can completely change the tide of a game.
So it's kind of like a Z power or a Z move.
Well,
almost.
That's almost, I'm pretty sure that's what they are like based around, is like the concept of Z moves, these incredibly powerful like once per combat abilities.
Yeah, so I have not actually had a chance to try these out in combat yet, but I do have a couple of strategy recommendations at the end of this relatively short talk to kind of get you in gear, as it were. Currently, there are 11 GX cards being released around this set. That's Decidueye GX. I'm just going to stop saying GX after all of them. You know what I'm talking about right now. Lurantis, Incineroar, Lapras, Primarina, Espeon, Lunala, Solgaleo, Tauros, Umbreon, and Gumshoes.
I like how Gumshoes kind of doesn't really fit with the others because it's so plain.
Well, and Sulker, you actually have the Gumshoes GX card. Did it have a good GX ability?
One second. It actually does have a pretty good ability. So its GX move costs one colorless energy, which does 10 damage as a base, which seems pretty lame until you read further down the card to where it does plus 50 more damage per energy attack to your opponent's active Pokemon. So if you're fighting, say, a Pokemon with 3 energy on it, you will do, what, 160 damage right off the bat?
Wow.
Dang.
So if your opponent has a high-powered Pokey out there with a lot of energy requirements, just getting this guy out there and slamming off that GX attack will change how the game goes altogether.
Sounds like a Totem Gumshoes.
That actually is probably their exact reason of using Gumshoes for a GX card.
Yeah, that would make a whole lot of sense. As well as why we got Tauros, Solgaleo, and like other legendaries in there.
Tauros is a legendary?
No, as well as others, which are legendaries. I will end you both.
I was going to say...
Well,
like,
I will end
be...
one of you. I will flip a coin.
Ash would have been really stupid if he had just let all of those Tauros be hanging out at Professor Oak if they were legendaries.
It's Ash. He would definitely do that.
Yeah, I mean...
Goodbye, Tauros.
He would be a real idiot. Well, I have news for you about Ash.
My brain, it's broken, is what Ash should probably say. So with all that being said, let's talk about your entry points into this, deck series or series of cards collection. So there's really just two kind of entry points that I find would be really useful to people as of what's been released so far. So that would be the 3 themed starter decks. So that's Forest Shadow, which is the Rowlet Decidueye deck, which is just a grass type deck, Roaring Heat, Litten Incineroar, which is a fire fighting deck, the Bright Tide deck for Popplio / Primarina, which is a water and lightning deck, and then obviously the 2 elite trainer sets for Lunala and Solgaleo respectively. What do you guys think of the cards that are out there, the basic types, and the entry points, or what you know of the decks or the theme collection so far? Let's go ahead and start with Spike.
Well, I personally, to get started with this generation, I bought an elite trainer set of Lunala and the Roaring Heat deck. And I feel like it's given me, you know, a really good place to start with from building a deck that I want to play, taking apart the Roaring Heat deck and then using, you know, the energy cards from the trainer set and some of the cards from the boosters to, you know, put together a deck that it may not win all the time, but, you know, I have one with it and that's worth something. What about you, Slykick? Have you had any experience with the entry points here?
I haven't played with the Bright Tide deck yet, but I really like the mix of Pokemon in it, and I'm literally looking forward to putting it into action.
Excellent.
Fantastic. So let's, closing up the discussion here, I know this is kind of a short week's discussion point, but I want to talk about some of the strategies I've seen online with some of these cards so far. So one, I'm actually not sure what it's called. It is available for perusal on the main Pokemon website, or the card game website. Right now I'm calling it Solgaleo times 2. So for this one, you have to have an active Solgaleo and one on your bench, both of the GX variety, obviously. You use the active Solgaleo's Soul Burst GX to draw 5 Seal Energy from your deck, placing it between the 2 Solgaleos. Next turn, use Sun Steel Strike from the Solgaleo that you have active, and then you can use its ability Victory Road to switch the 2 Solgaleos on the following turn and have the already powered up one fire his attack.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So yeah, so that is basically a way to get 230 damage output in 2 rounds, so 230 and 230 again. If you're using this against Pokemon with, or players that have their Pokemon GX cards out or an EX card out, this is an easy way to get 4 victory points pretty quickly. What do you guys think of that strategy?
That sounds crazy. Yeah, that's wild.
Another one that you can do with Solgaleo is Sunflower Supply. You need to have Alurantis GX card ready as well. So your active Solgaleo loses all of its energy after using Sunsteel Strike, as we've discussed. You can switch in Alurantis GX and use its ability, Flower Supply, to recharge Solgaleo GX for another Sunsteel Strike. So that's a way to get your third GX attack out there, since it's, again, not using one of the GX moves, just the card's ability.
Yeah.
And then two that I know of with Lunala, because I figured why not focus down on the legendaries from this set. So you'll have to get Lunala GX and Lapras GX out in your bench with a Solgaleo as your active Pokemon. So remember earlier when I was talking about those rainbow energies?
Yeah.
This move requires that you have 4 rainbow energy within your deck and not your hand. You can then draw those from your deck and attach it directly to Lapras GX, which will get around that having to do 10 or 1 damage counter per card, because it's not coming from your hand, it's coming from your deck.
Oh.
So you then would use the Ultra Road ability to switch Lapras GX into the active position and use Blizzard Burn attack. Next turn, use the Ultra Road ability to switch out for another Pokemon, and you can use Lunala GX's Psychic Transfer ability to move the Rainbow Energy to the new active Pokemon, whichever Pokemon that happens to be.
Oh, wow. So if you have like a Pokemon that you've just brought out from your bench that has like a really high attack power ability that requires a lot of energy, this is a way to get them in play like in one turn with all the energy to do that attack.
Yeah, pretty much.
That sounds really powerful.
Wowzers, yeah.
And the last one is a take on an old strategy. They're calling it Moonlight Potion. Let's say you have a active Pokemon that has a bunch of energy on it, and it's taken a crap ton of damage and will likely get knocked out and give a prize card. If you use Lunala's Psychic Transfer ability, you can then transfer that energy away from the Pokemon and attach it to a different Pokemon. And then use a max potion card, which heals all that damage, but would normally require you to remove all attached energy cards. You can then, again, use psychic energy transfer to switch the energy cards back and continue the attack. I think this is a really potent strategy as well. I'm really excited to start using these GX Pokemon cards with their new abilities and GX moves. As you can see, most of these didn't require an actual use of the GX moves, but it does change the way that each of these strategies work. With all that being said, I guess that covers my discussion on a Rock Ruff review of the Sun Moon collection.
I'll listen to you, Samson Oak.
Do you guys have any final thoughts on this before we move on to our next topic for the day?
Just that, I like this expansion a lot, and I'm really excited about all of the powerful combinations and stuff in this set.
Yeah, it's really refreshing to see that, after 20-ish years, that there's still some interesting techniques and strategies that can come into play, because, not every trading card game is able to kind of have this sort of long-lasting appeal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, listeners, if you out there happen to have any thoughts on the Sun Moon collection, you can go ahead and reach out to us on Twitter at stabcast.org.
At stabcast.org.
And the .org
is spelled out, D-O-T-O-R-G.
What he said.
Yeah, that. So let's go ahead and kick it over to Slagkick so we could talk about some anime episodes.
Woohoo! All right. To start off, we're going to talk about episodes 13 and 14 of the Sun and Moon anime. Episode 13 is called The Great Alola Pancake Race. So it starts out with Mal and her Bounce Suite practicing running around with a plate of pancakes on the Bounce Suite's head, because apparently there's a Great Alola Pancake Race that's a tradition on Melee Island. And so Ash is like, oh, okay, cool. I want to do that too. And so they meet a pancake shop owner who has an Alolan Raichu that's the former winner. And so basically just a lot of the members of the Pokemon school and Professor Samson Oak and Jesse and James enter the race. Jesse uses Mimikyu and James has Meowth and Wobbuffet be inside of the, like, mechanical beware. And so basically hijinks happen, people's pancakes fall off, because that's how you get disqualified if, or if you use the move. And basically, it comes down to Alolan Raichu, Pikachu, and the mechanical beware. The mechanical beware ends up, like, crashing and exploding, which allows the sleeping Kamala, or Nekawala of Samson Oaks, to just roll into first place. And at the end, Lily's egg hatches to reveal a Alolan Vulpix. I thought this episode was silly, but I enjoyed it. I liked that Kaki entered with his Tordinator, or I get the names mixed up, because when we watched him subbed, you know, they use the Japanese names. He was just kind of like, oh, I'm not giving up. It was just overall silly, but in an enjoyable way. I tried to look up any precedent in real Alola, aka Hawaii, about a pancake race. I couldn't find anything. If you're out there and you know about it, please let us know. Sulker, what did you think of this episode?
I really liked this episode, mostly because I like that it touches on the Pokedex entries, or somewhere in Sun Moon, it's talked about how Alolan Raichu loves pancakes, which is why it's like kind of tubby. And so I thought that that was really cute. I really enjoyed the different like ways that they like showed everyone kind of struggling with their Pokemon. Like some of them are like so used to their Pokemon just like carrying themselves, like with what is his name, the fire trail guy,
Kaki.
Oh yeah. So Kaki, when he like is pulling that big guy up the, like, because they had that phase where they're doing like pull them up inside a wheelbarrow.
Bakugames.
Yeah, the Bakugames.
Or Tortinator.
Tortinator. Yeah, that's what it's called. In the I always want to call it a radio flyer, even though it's just a wagon. But like, I thought that was super cute, and I was just, I'm basically Jesse in this episode. Like, give me all the pancakes for a year. That's all I want.
Okay, am I the only one that got the feeling at the end of the episode that the reason Jessie was so upset she didn't win the pancakes, between this episode and the next at least, is that she had really wanted to give all of those pancakes to their Kiteru Guma that takes care of them?
I think it, with the second episode context, sure, you could read into that that way. But for me, I also think that Jesse just really likes pancakes, because like Team Rocket's
well,
always been hungry.
I don't blame her that either. Let's be clear.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of thought of it as Team Rocket being cheap and being like, ooh, we don't have to buy food for a year if we get.
Well, but they
all
already
the
don't, because Kitaru Guma cooks for them every day from his forest food.
And then there might be a pancake thing. I wasn't even thinking about the Raichu pancake connection, so I'm glad you mentioned that, Sulker.
I mean, that's like, I figured that's why they were just kind of using this as a way to bring in Alolan form Raichu.
Yeah. So episode 14 is The Fruit of Courage, Lily and Rokan. So this is where Lily's egg has just hatched into an Alolan form Vulpix, or Rokan, and then
Rokan.
Samson Oak comes in. He's like, my egg is hatching too, and it evolves or hatches into a normal Rokan or Vulpix.
Excuse me, are you saying Alolan Vulpix is not normal?
Ooh.
You sound very racist, straight up.
I mean, the original form we're used to. So,
oh, original, huh? How do you know the Alolan one didn't come first?
Poke racist.
The fire type Vulpix, you know, is very playful and fun, but Lily's Alolan Vulpix is kind of a little standoffish, and Lily wants to try to touch it, but she's like, oh, I can't. And so she goes for a walk with it to try to get some quality time to bond with it, and comes across Team Rocket. And so at first she, you know, has the Alolan Vulpix use powder snow to freeze their path, and they slip and fall, but they end up kind of crowding around her. And fortunately, Ash and Mao have been spying on her, so, because they're worried about her. And so she ends up getting like blasted off of the side of a building, but she like, or actually the I'm sorry, the Vulpix does, and she jumps after it. And then Ash uses leafage from Mokoro to kind of save her. And so she's like, oh my gosh, I can touch a Pokemon. I thought this was really cute, because I was expecting it to be Nebby, honestly. Like, so to see another divergence from the games is nice, and to see some character growth from Lily is also nice. So I really enjoyed it. I think that Vulpix is cute in both types. I really like Alolan Vulpix a lot, and it's really, really cute.
I have to agree with you about this episode. I really do, or did enjoy it. Yeah, I too had been expecting Nebby to be in the egg, but of course, Nebby would not be in such tight confines like an egg. Get in the egg, Nebby. I also thought, like, I was worried most of the way through this episode that Lily would not, like, be able to touch Pokemon, like, for the life of her still. So I'm glad that that resolved itself, sort of, because we do get that ending sequence with, who was it? Togedemaru. That was trying to hug her, and her just being, like, freaking out again! Until, her recon, which she named, what, Shiron,
yeah.
See, like, jumps into her arms and is like, oh, look at me, I'm hella cute! And she's like, oh, okay, maybe I don't have, like, this Pokemon, like, distress disorder. But did you want to talk about the Kitiruguma and the Malasada?
Well, yeah, because, you know, something that didn't really get talked about too much here is that we saw Team Rocket buying Malasadas. We actually saw multiple people buying Malasadas in this episode, but we saw Team Rocket get some, and Jesse made, like, a big deal about, like, buying extras, and all of the rest of Team Rocket are just like, why do you carry lots of extras? But basically, Jessie's like, oh, this is for when we get home. And when she gets home, she's ends up slipping the Malasada donuts to Kitaruguma,
Omiyage,
who is so overwhelmed with joy that he tries to hug her to death. Of course, we know that outside of the show. In the show, they're all, you know, Team Rocket's asking, like, is it happy or is it mad? But we know that when Kitaruguma wants to hug something to death, it's because it loves it.
I mean, it's literally squeed.
Yeah, it was super, super, super cute. I was super into it. I also thought it was really silly the way Lily bought a Malasada for Rokon and then was like, what's your favorite flavor? And like the first one it bites, she's just like, that's your favorite. Like, it's never eaten anything. It was born like an hour ago.
Hey, whatever. For a born an hour ago level one Pokemon, it was sure able to take out like all of Team Rocket and its Pokemon. So, you know,
I have met Kakunas that can take out Team Rocket. Come on now.
Fine, whatever. Do you guys have any other special thoughts or feelings about this episode? I mean, than the, like, Kanto region Vulpix that Samsonoke has gone off with? Because I thought that one was super cute, too, and, like, how it wanted...
I was kind of hoping that Ash would get to keep it.
Why would Ash get to keep it? What did he do to deserve that?
I was hoping the same.
Brought it from Kanto.
I was hoping the same, just because that would mean that we would get at least three more episodes of that Vulpix before it got put into a Pokeball and forgotten forever until Ash leaves all his Pokemon behind because he doesn't really love them.
Exactly. That's why Samson Oak gets to keep it, so that he can, like, love it forever and maybe have it evolve and be his best friend. I don't know.
I hope it doesn't evolve, though, because it's cuter as it is.
I mean, I agree, but, you know, some people evolve things.
All right.
I thought both these episodes were really fun, and I'm enjoying, like, even though these are kind of filler episodes, so to speak, as they're not focused on the trials and, you know, progressing the main story as we think of it, I've really enjoyed it.
You know, the writing has stayed up, and more as importantly, the animation has stayed up. So while it is, strictly speaking, you know, filler as we think of it, it's not like unpleasant to watch filler.
Indeed.
See, I wouldn't really consider it filler in this instance, just because it seems more like slice of life episodes, which, I mean, sometimes are fillery, but the, like you said, the way that the writing has stayed consistently good and fun, I have to say that I really enjoyed these episodes.
Yeah, I would take these over random adventure with a random trainer and then a battle and then, oh, Pikachu wins. So, yeah, I really enjoyed them. We also are going to cover episodes of Generations 11 and 12. So 11 is the New World, which involves Cyrus, the leader of Team Galactic, attempting to create a new world at the Spear Pillar by summoning Dialga and Palkia. But Giratina appears and takes Cyrus to the Distortion World. You know, this was really short, but it was kind of cool to see, you know, a prominent moment from Diamond and Pearl be enacted, and it made me really think about the Distortion World. Kind of made me think of, like, the Ultra Beast, Ultra Dimension. I wonder if there's some sort of connection there.
I really hope that we get some kind of connection between the two, or at least some kind of explanation in the meta about why there are all these little alternate dimensional pockets. Like, how does this fit into Arceus's vision of the universe? But regardless, I did think this was a really good episode. I enjoyed the animation insofar as the little combat sequence we got with it, but I thought it was a nice little tag on to like the end of that sequence from the game.
Indeed. What about you, Spike?
You know, this is, for me, again, a real struggle, as I often do struggle with Generations episodes, where I feel like it ended as things were getting exciting. So it was like,
well, I guess it's time to replay Diamond and Pearl then.
Yeah, maybe it is. Except I'd rather see it, that story animated to this level of quality.
Well, maybe in the Pokemon movies of the future we'll get things like that.
Fingers crossed.
And then episode 12 was the Magma Stone, which is a Pokemon Platinum sort of story. It involves the kind of remaining members of Team Galactic under the leadership of Charon trying to awaken Heatran in Stark Mountain. But then Buck comes up and he's like, dude, you can't do that, dude. And
wait, dudes.
Looker,
dude,
our favorite international police agent, shows up with his crow gunk, and then Buck, the dude, uses his ball toy to kind of shake things up and ends up putting the heat rock or whatever that was called back to...
I believe it was the Magma Stone.
Oh, the Magma Stone, right.
If only it was somewhere listed in, like, an episode title.
Yeah, so allowing Heatran to return to its slumber.
You know, I liked this one in that it was cool and very stylish, and Buck did a lot of almost like Bayonetta-style jumps that I was really into, but if anything, it really just made me wish for a character action game in the Pokemon universe. It was, again, one of those things where, like, they went to a lot of trouble to animate this completely meaningless scene.
You say meaningless, but they almost completely wiped out Team Galactic in that moment, again. But, I mean, I feel you there, like, but the way that the Baltoy was using, I assume, Psychic to, like, throw around those stones so that dude bro could jump from thing to thing. Like, I just thought that was really friggin' cool.
Yeah.
So, kind of was a Gen 4-centric week for us in Generations. I mean, like, you know, I enjoyed them both, but it's just, like I said, I want more, so it's kind of like, But with that, it's time to talk about our Pokemon of the week, and that is Spike's turn this week.
This week, our Pokemon of the week is Chatot, and the reason we are picking Chatot is because something very special is happening over on the Twitched Plays Pokemon channel on Twitch. They're currently running a modified version of Pokemon Yellow, but instead of having Pikachu follow the player around, it's Chatot. This is super cute. They're doing it to celebrate the 3-year anniversary of Twitch Plays Pokemon. The really cool thing about this specific run, because this is a hacked ROM, is that the Chatot will actually, like, sing or speak whatever's typed into chat using the chatter ability. So they've been doing things as wild as making it sing the lyrics to All Star by Smash Mouth.
Of course, because it's the internet.
Because it's the internet.
Okay, I need a video of that later, please.
So, you know, and I've seen it doing some stuff where people have gotten it to say stuff about, like, Twitch chat is like a parrot. So, you know, and it's been really cute and cool. The people who made this ROM are specifically using, like, text strings and stuff that are being pulled from a Lua script that's running in the emulator, so that, like, sometimes text from the chat stream will pop up out of the mouths of NPCs in the game. So it's just, like a very, very in-depth and very cool celebration of Twitch Plays Pokemon.
I'm sorry, but do we know why the trainer's face looks hella whacked in that animation there? Like,
To that I do not have an answer.
Yeah.
I think it's meant to be the little logo for Twitch, the little, it's like a little quotation box that's square with little quotations in the box.
Oh, okay, that would make sense.
Yeah. So, Chatot. Chatot in Japan is Perapu. It is a dual-type normal flying Pokemon introduced in Generation 4. Chatot does not have any evolutionary forms. It is known as the Music Note Pokemon, and is number 441 in the Pokédex. The favorite Pokédex entry for Chatot, at least my favorite Pokédex entry for Chatot, comes from Heart Gold and Soul Silver, which it actually has the same entry in both of those games. It mimics the cries of other Pokémon to trick them into thinking it's one of them. This way, they won't attack it. For whatever reason, that's just really cute to me, IDK. Chatot, as you probably guessed, is a bird Pokémon. It's sort of designed to look like a parakeet, something that's really cute is that its head is black and is meant to resemble an eighth note, while its black tail actually resembles a metronome. You know, it has very colorful plumage, including blue wings, a yellow chest and feet, a green stomach, and a pink hooked beak and eyelids. Overall, I just think Chatot is super cute, and I think that this entire Twitch Plays thing is just so rad. Chatot is the only Pokemon that learns Chatter, and something that's really cool about Chatter is in Generations 4 and 5, Chatter can actually be used as a field move to record audio using the DS's microphone, and then that audio is what will actually play as the Chatot's default cry, as well as the sound that will play when Chatot uses Chatter in battle. And something that's really cool about that ability is that based on like the pitch and frequency of the sound that you record in your DS's microphone, it will actually do like a variable amount of damage. So there are like optimal noises you can record to really min-max your damage output with Chatter. Worth noting that the audio recorded for Chatter gets distorted when you record it, probably as a failsafe to prevent inappropriate language, because I think we all know, like, if I were to catch a Chatot and then record something, every time he'd come out, he'd be like, "Fuck!" Well, I was gonna say, "Dicks!"
Oh, well.
Pikachu.
Fine.
Dicks!
Fuck!
So, Chatot appears as a major character in the Explorers of Time, Darkness, and Sky Mystery Dungeon games. Chatot is the Wigglytuff's assistant, and one of the two Pokemon, the other being Corphish, who kicks Team Razorwind out of the guild. Chatot made his TV episode debut in Strategy Tomorrow Comedy Tonight, where he is in the ownership of Otta. A flock of Chatot appeared in Following a Maiden's Voyage. A Coordinator's Chatot appeared in Staging a Hero's Welcome. And Chatot also appeared in the episodes Kalos, Where Dreams and Adventures Begin, Going for the Gold, and the feature Diancie and the Cocoon of Destruction.
Nice.
We love you, Chatot. Do you guys have anything to add?
No, I think Chatot's a little cutie Pokemon that reminds me a lot of like the birds in my family's house growing up, so it's a positive Pokey to think of.
Aw, I think Chatter's really cool, and I didn't know about that at the time when I was playing Gen 4, so even more reason for me to want to go back and revisit Diamond and Pearl, I guess.
Are we about to do a group Diamond Pearl replay?
Well, it is the 10th anniversary of the American release coming
out.
Yes. All right, well, let's move forward then. Do we have any link cables this week?
Yeah, we have some feedback about Chatot. We said our Pokemon of the week is Chatot in honor of Twitch Plays Pokemon Yellow Chatot Edition. What do you think about the Music Note Pokemon? First up is a tweet from Ben Active saying, "I hate it. My initial interaction with it was terrible and it has never redeemed itself. Chatter is annoying and it doesn't evolve." But Gamer Fox says, "Chatot was actually part of my main lineup in Gen 4. Not super powerful, but it filled my flying slot for a good while."
Oh, it's good to hear some opposing opinions out there on the internet. Whoever thought those would exist?
Right?
Yeah, you know, Chatot is one of those things where when I was playing, I never really used it, but like as I've learned about it over the years, now I kind of want to. So I'm like right in between these two opinions.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that. Like, I don't think it was ever part of any team I've ever used, and when I would like see it come up in later generations, I'd just be like, "You, what are you doing over there?"
I mean, I would say it's kind of
like, "What are you
like
doing?
The place
stop it."
It would kind of
but
be...
no, keep going. Okay, you're a Pokemon.
For me, it kind of feels like it serves a similar role of like a Farfetch'd. Good for a while, but not necessarily the one that you want on your final team.
I can see that.
A little cutie.
All right. Any other link cables?
No, but we do love your feedback. We love your iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes. We effing love Twitter.
We effing love Twitter.
And we tumble sometimes, don't
or
we?
Or Chatot.
We sometimes tumble.
We sometimes tumble. We sometimes Facebook.
And our home base is Stabcast.org.
Stabcast.org.
And you can mail us at mail@stabcast.org.
Mail@stabcast.org.
Spike, I believe you have some shout-outs for us.
I do. The first one goes out to the Voice of Geeks Network over at VogNetwork.com, where you can hear such shows as PokeStop. Join podcasting veterans Rob Roberts and Shane Alenko for a regular chat on Pokemon topics like the handheld games, Pokemon Go, and spin-offs of the franchise, as well as GameBuoy.org, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. And last but not least, the Ranger Pridecast, where myself and Shane Alenko talk about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series, as well as the current season of the Super Sentai meta series upon which it's based out of Japan. Slaggy, what about you?
I'd like to shout out to Reading is Fundamental, the podcast for myself, Spike, Delvin from Video Game Realness, and Rob Roberts from OLR and Pokestop. Serve tea and dish on everything RuPaul's Drag Race, honey. And that is currently off-season, but not for long, because we're just pretty much waiting for the official premiere date of Season 9, which is coming soon. We already have the cast reveal, so really excited. Looks like a good bunch of queens. And a couple of video game anime nerd girls in there, so, you know, hey, if you're listening. And I'd also like to shout out to Orange Lounge Radio, OLR for short, over at the Voice of Geeks Network, where every gamer has a voice, and who we basically owe our podcasting existence to, featuring Rob Roberts, Techmaster Loki, and Dark Sakura Sulker.
It's Super Effective, PKMN Cast, a Pokemon website for news and reviews that explore the ins and outs of the Pokemon franchise, covering the games, anime, and beyond. All this, and a weekly podcast. Mythical, Mazes, and Magikarps, taking the two best aspects of geek life, GM White Wing hosts a troop of unlikely heroes as they explore the Pokemon world of the past with classic D&D classes and villains. This is currently off-season right now, but will likely return with Season 3 at some point. I would also like to shout out to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is a trusted healthcare provider and informed educator, a passionate advocate and global partner helping similar organizations around the world. Planned Parenthood delivers vital reproductive healthcare, sex education, and information to millions of women, men, and young people worldwide. Also, The Trevor Project. The Trevor Project, founded in 1998 by the creators of the Academy Award-winning short film Trevor, The Trevor Project is the leading national organization providing crisis intervention and suicide prevention services to the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning young people ages 13 through 24. And Slykick, I believe we have music?
We have music. It's great. It is Professor Sycamore's theme by Nathan Sharp, a.k.a. Nate Wants to Battle. Does all sorts of great things over on YouTube with anime covers and video game covers and parodies and really, really great stuff. So go support him, buy his stuff on iTunes. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, I think that's it for everything. So we are going to sign out today. I hope that you're having a lovely President's Day. I had to stop for a moment. I forgot what holiday it was today.
It's a holiday?
Supposedly. I hope that you have had half as much fun listening to us as we've had talking to you guys. It's a real pleasure to be here for you every week, and we look forward to many, many weeks to come. We will be back at you in a couple of weeks, but until then, keep catching, keep training, and Aurora Pancakey Dairesu!
Chatot, the music note Pokemon.
You looked cute and harmless. Was I ever wrong?
Alola.
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 Alola. Alola.